This week we focus on Christ as our great high priest and how the Old Testament office of high priest was a wonderful coming reflection, if you will, of his great work for us. And we see that also demonstrated today in our scripture reading taken from John 17. This is often referred to as Jesus' high priestly prayer or his sacerdotal prayer. And we hear these words beginning with verse 6. I have manifested your name to the men whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. I pray for them, I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. Through the years, I've heard some tremendous stories of different parents who maybe were unable to have children on their own and then chose to go and adopt children from a foreign country. And everyone, it seems, has a very unique story on what that process has been like and some of the great challenges that there have been, and then also the great excitement that they felt when things finally fell into place and maybe the legal system or whatever happened, sometimes even the finances, fell in the right way so that it all worked out and they were able to finally go and adopt that child. It's difficult sometimes, depending on the country, it's difficult to often get children out of certain orphanages. Sometimes the stories and the challenges that parents in America face to have that work out are really very fascinating and very interesting. And I often think about the parent who is waiting for everything seems to have fallen into place, but they have not yet been able to, if you will, get their child or children and finally take them with them back to their home. And yet the excitement that they feel. But already the sense of love and protection that they have toward that child, even though the child is in a sense not yet with them in their new home. They maybe are watching their child play among 30, 40 others out in a playground. And even though they see everybody, they're specifically zoned in on the one now that belongs to them. I think of that as a picture of our Lord Jesus when it comes to his high priestly prayer. Our Lord is certainly concerned about all the souls of the world, and yet we see in this prayer how beautifully he is zeroed in on the believers in him whom God the Father has given to him and brought to faith. Our Lord Jesus is so focused on them in this world and their lot in this world and the great plans that he has for them as well. This high priestly prayer of our Lord is just filled with such comfort. If you're ever wondering if God cares about you, if you're ever feeling kind of bummed out about your life, take out John 17 and just read it. It's just amazing. It really is. Just read through it and think about this, that your Lord Jesus, the true Son of God, who left all of his glory in heaven to come down to this earth so that you and I could go to heaven someday, that he took the time to say a specific prayer about you going through this life. It's just full of amazing comfort. So do that for yourself, first of all. But let's note some things in this beautiful prayer, just in the few verses that we've highlighted for today. Notice how possessive Christ is of his faithful. Notice how absolutely possessive he is of them, of his the members of his church. A lot of times we can feel very alone and isolated in this world, and maybe that God doesn't even think about us and so on. Nothing could be further from the truth. Christ's eyes are always on his own. Just like he spotted the widow putting those few little coins in the alms box outside of the temple in Jerusalem, just like he noticed the woman in the crowd of people who grabbed at the hem of his garment, just like he spotted Zacchaeus up in the tree, your Lord's eyes are on his faithful. He's always noticing what's going on in our lives. And notice how concerned he is about our welfare. In particular, about not just our future, but how we're going to make it to our future out of this world. And notice how realistic he is about the existence of the devil and also about the necessity of keeping you safe from him. In his prayer, one of his petitions to the Father is this: keep them from the evil one. If we in this world are kind of falling into a lull of thinking that the devil doesn't exist, that's one of his greatest weapons against us. Our Lord Jesus is so realistic about his existence. And likewise, notice here that when we are attacked, our Lord Jesus himself feels attacked. One great example of that, I think, is in the book of Acts, when Saul has been out persecuting Christians before he's converted to be the Apostle Paul. And on his way to Damascus, our Lord Jesus stops him and he's converted to the faith. But Jesus says to him that great line, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" Notice he doesn't say my church. He says, "Why are you persecuting me?" That's how closely your Lord Jesus identifies with you. When you hurt, when you're under persecution, when you're feeling difficulty, he feels it as well. Notice also the wonderful protection and the status that God grants you by faith through his word. Listen to how much of our little text here, and you can find it throughout the whole chapter, but how much of it deals with the word of God. He says to the Father, "I have given them your word. They were yours, you gave them to me, and they have kept your word." It's always the word that determines the church. Where the word goes, there the church will be. It's like planting corn. You cannot have a stalk of corn grow up without the seed of the word. Where the word is, there the church will be. It will not return void unto the Lord. And so that word is so significant, not only in creating the church, but also in sustaining the church and preserving us in our faith. It's what sets us apart from the world. Jesus says, "My sheep hear my voice, I know them, and they follow me." It's the word of God, obeying that, listening to it, applying it to our lives, receiving its comfort. It's that word of God that distinguishes who the faithful are in this world. You cannot claim, on the one hand, to be a follower of Christ, and on the other hand, diss his word. That's a disconnect. It does not fit biblical teaching. Jesus said, "Everyone who is of the truth hears my voice." And so it's essential for us to understand, as God's faithful in this world, how necessary that word is for us in establishing who we are and sustaining us in that faith and also guiding us on our way to heaven. And notice that it's that word that Jesus says puts his faithful in this world in contrast to what's going on in the world. It's what causes the animosity of the world against them. It's not us as people that the world hates. It's the word that we have in our hearts. It's the faith that we have as Christians. It's the fact that we desire to love Christ our Savior and follow his word and apply that to our lives and teach it in the world. That's the reason the world hates us. Don't take it personally. It's the word. In the same way that the world raised its voice and its fist and its abuse against Christ our Lord, who is the word made flesh, we should not expect any different treatment in this world when we likewise gather around that word. We should not be surprised when we are attacked because we love it and we want to follow it and apply it to our lives. Notice also in our Lord's words here how closely he identifies you as one of his believers with being a citizen of heaven. He says, "They are not of the world, just as I am not." Think about that little child that's been adopted. Already through the work of the parents, in a sense, has established U.S. citizenship, but has never been there yet. And yet the parents have taken care of all the paperwork and the money payment and everything is all done. The child just has never been to their home where they belong yet. That's how it is for us in this world. Our Lord Jesus Christ has taken care of every ounce of payment to make you a citizen of heaven through his blood shed on the cross. And by the faith worked in your heart to trust in him as your only hope of salvation. And all of that has been just given to you as a free gift, just like a child picked out of an orphanage may have had nothing to do with his or her adoption. God, in his generous grace, has claimed you as his child in this wicked world and is going to pull you out of this third world of poverty, of death and destruction, and take you ultimately to your heavenly home, all because of his compassion and grace and mercy for you in Christ. And imagine trying to explain to a child in a third world orphanage how amazing it would be to be in the United States and to live in a nice, beautiful mansion over there. They couldn't even come to grips with what that's like. Just think of the great surprise that we're going to have when we finally get to walk through the doors of heaven and see this fantastic home that our Lord Jesus has adopted us for. Be faithful unto death, he says, and I will give you that crown of life. Amen.